You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. This episode is being released on November 11th, 2021. This week, we're going to be talking about the number of millennials who identify as LGBTQ, and the percentage is probably going to surprise you. And before I reveal that percentage, take a guess and as what you think it will be. We're going to be talking about that figure and what led to it, and what this means moving forward as we go through this episode. For links to the story we'll be talking about, as well as related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/111121. Now for our story this week. The number of millennials who identify as LGBTQ. From CBN News. Says a study about the growing influence of millennials has revealed a majority of them have a positive opinion about Jesus Christ. However, they apparently don't understand or haven't read what the Bible has to say about sexuality, because a whopping 30% of that entire generation now identify as LGBTQ. The 62-page research report titled New Insights into the Generation of Growing Influence, Millennials in America by George Barna, was conducted by the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University and the Foundations of Freedom, a platform promoting traditional American values. Why millennials? According to the report, they are the most populous generation in American society today, comprising more than 70 million adults in the U.S. Millennials currently represent close to 4 out of every 10 working-age Americans, and they are also the primary parenting age segment in the country. We'll stop there for a second. Keep that in mind. When we think about the age of millennials, they are the primary parenting age segment in the country. Now, the story continues. It says the trend toward LGBTQ identification is especially strong among younger millennials. The study's key finding of this generation include, 1, 29% of younger millennials ages 18 to 25 are counted as having some type of mental disorder. Overall, 54% of those surveyed acknowledge some degree of emotional fragility or even mental illness. 2, 24 out of every 25 millennials, or 96%, lack a biblical worldview. 3, 75% say they lack meaning and purpose in life. 4, only 1/3 claimed to believe in God. 5, 39% of younger millennials, ages 18 to 24, identify as LGBTQ. And then finally, Barna told Newsweek that he attributed the unusually high number of millennials being LGBTQ was due to social and news media coverage that makes it, quote, safe and cool, end quote, for young Americans to identify that way, whether or not it represents their actual sexual orientation. So, again, pause for just a second. So he's suggesting that it's possible that they are identifying this way, but as he would define it, that may not be their sexual orientation. So there's a little bit of ambiguity there. But one final quote from the story before we move on. He said, it's a subset of a larger issue that this is a generation where 3 out of 4 are searching for meaning. This is a group that doesn't have a reason to get out of bed in the morning, Barna said. Therefore, the LGBTQ identity gives them comfort. A lot of this generation claim to be moving in that direction, but there's a big difference between claiming the identity and living the lifestyle. Now, as we read through that, again, this is talking about the number of millennials who identify as LGBTQ. When we talk about millennials, what age do you think of? I think a lot of people imagine someone who is young, maybe in college, maybe just out of college. Yet millennials, many of them, are older than that. As the excerpt we just read pointed out, it is younger millennials who are 18 to 24 year olds, not millennials, younger millennials. So depending on what study you find, the millennial generation is usually said to have started around 1980 or 1982. I was born in 1980. I turned 40 years old at the end of last year. Technically, I am a millennial, even though I really don't think of myself as being in that age group. But that's where I would be lumped in together with these others. I would be counted as a millennial. So when you hear the term millennial, don't think of some immature college kid that may be part of that generation, but it's a small part of it. Many millennials are married, have stable jobs, they may own their own home, and they could have kids that are nearing adulthood. I have a 17-year-old, and I am a millennial. So don't think of this as just, you know, these are kids. No, these are adults, and this is the majority of working, or the larger portion of working-age adults, as we read in that excerpt. So this is a significant number, and a significant that it is among this group of people, 18 to 40-year-olds. So this is what makes this number so incredible to me. It's not just inflated because the number of rebellious or misguided youths in the group is skewing the numbers. That's part of it, but it's not all of it. In the article that we read, there are two factors mentioned that have contributed to this high percentage that I want to notice here, these two factors. Number one, it mentioned the lack of a biblical worldview. When God's word is rejected, the door is open then to any number of sins, whether it's sexual sins or anything else. However, because this has been going on for some time, and we can all see ways that our society has been moving away from God, away from a biblical worldview. Those who are older than I am have been seeing this for generations. Because this has been going on for some time, these ones in this generation that we're talking about here with these millennials, they're not necessarily rejecting a biblical worldview so much as they, many of them, have just never been introduced to a biblical worldview. And the second thing I want us to notice is that there is a lack of meaning and purpose in their life. People need for their lives to have some meaning. When that is not rooted in God and in His Word and what He has called us to do, then people are going to look elsewhere. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is about, where the wise man described how he searched for meaning and purpose in riches and possessions and worldly wisdom and drinking and music and all sorts of things. For many today, they are searching for that meaning, but doing it through some identity. They identify themselves in this way or that way, and that gives them some meaning or some purpose. Now, those of us who have been raised with a belief in God and an understanding that the Bible is the authoritative Word of God, we might be shaking our heads when we hear that 30% of millennials and 39% of young millennials identify as LGBTQ. How did our society get here? I've mentioned before on this podcast a book that I read recently called The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self by Carl R. Truman. And I recommended that book before. I will recommend it again. In the introduction, Truman began by explaining that the phrase, "I am a woman trapped in a man's body," that phrase would have been considered nonsense to his grandfather's generation. He mentioned that his grandfather died in 1994. Yet now we're at the point in our society where that statement is seen as being, as he put it, coherent and meaningful. So what happened? Obviously, our society has gone through a massive shift away from the biblical principles that previous generations took for granted. So that has happened, but how do we deal with that now? What are we to do? How do we handle the situation of our society being the way that it is? Consider this warning that Truman gave in the book. He said, quote, "Many Christians were amazed how swiftly society moved from a position where in the early 2000s, a majority of people were broadly opposed to gay marriage, to one where, by 2020, transgenderism is well on its way to becoming more or less normalized. The mistake such Christians made was failing to realize that broader underlying social and cultural conditions made both gay marriage and then transgender ideology first plausible and then normative, and that these conditions have been developing over hundreds of years. This is not a recent phenomenon," as he goes on to argue in that book, and he goes into a lot of explanations and well-researched and explained. I think the book is almost 400 pages, so there is a lot of information in there. But he explains how we got here. And because the book is 400 or so pages, we can't get into all the factors that he discussed in the book, which led our society to this point today. I mentioned before when I talked about this book, I may spend some time on the podcast going through the book in more detail, and I still may do that. I'm going to have to go through the book again just to kind of organize. I made a lot of notes when I went through it the first time, but kind of organize different things and be able to talk about it in more in-depth on, you know, on a platform like this. But as Truman said, this has been developing over hundreds of years. So this is not something new, but this is just the progression where our society has been going. But we do need to be careful with our reaction to this. It would be very easy to just throw up our hands and decide that those who live in the present generation are just hopeless. We might then be tempted to sit around and just complain about the miserable and sinful state of our society more than we try to reach people with the gospel that they need. Truman warned about doing this. He said, quote, "The task of the Christian is not to whine about the moment in which he or she lives, but to understand its problems and respond appropriately to them," end quote. We do not need to pretend as if sin is not a problem. We should also not act as though there is nothing to be concerned about in our society. However, we need to recognize that people are lost. Now, brethren have used that term a lot to describe those who are not saved. And it's fine to use that term that way because it is accurate. Those who are not saved, they are lost. However, I think we also need to recognize that these people that we're talking about here, the 30% of millennials who identify as LGBTQ, it's not just that they are not saved. It is that they are truly lost. They are without direction. They are without purpose. They are looking for something to give them meaning. And they're trying to figure out who they are and why they're here, and society is going to give them answers. But the answers that society is giving them are incorrect, are sinful, and are dangerous. We need to be ready to point them to Christ and His Word, where they can find real answers. So how do we do this? I think it comes down to emphasizing a few basic points. Number one, we serve a God who does not change. Number two, we follow His Word that does not change. Three, we point people to Jesus, who will save anyone. He will welcome anyone. And four, we also need to emphasize the fact that because we serve a God that does not change, because we follow his word that does not change, and because we know Christ who will welcome anyone, we know why we're here. We know what we are to be doing here. We know where we are going. We can make these points from the pulpit, in our Bible classes, and in everyday conversations with people. But in a culture that is in moral turmoil, we can shine a light showing people the firm foundation that we have through faith in Christ. The world is not going to change anytime soon. Again, as Truman pointed out in his book, that the factors that led to the idea that, well, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body, that made that sound reasonable, that didn't happen overnight. It's been developing over hundreds of years. So the world is not going to change radically anytime soon. Most likely, it will continue to get worse and move further away from God. Rather than just sit around and complain about that, let's instead be busy pointing people to the truth, because they're searching for something. Let's be pointing them to the truth. Let's be letting our light shine so that we might be able to help lead others out of the darkness and into the light of Christ, where they will find purpose, they will find meaning, they will find hope and truth. All of that is in Christ. So rather than just bemoaning the fact that our society is the way that it is, let's work on pointing people to what is true and what is right and what is unchanging. Point them to Christ. I'll have a link in the show notes to that book that I mentioned, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self by Carl R. Truman. As I said, I recommend that book. It is a long read, but I think it's worthwhile read, especially considering that this is an issue that's not going away. And I think it's important to understand how we got here and what people are thinking, where they're coming from. I also have some other links in the show notes as well that you can check out, including a podcast from a few months ago about the number of young Americans who now identify as LGBT, and what we've talked about today with this study. It's worse than it was then, but you can check out that episode too if you're interested in that. But that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting and informative and helpful. For links to the story that we talked about, as well as the other materials and links that I mentioned, you can check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/111121. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So if you use those platforms, please subscribe to the podcast there and rate it as well. If you know of others who would be interested in hearing this episode or would benefit from the podcast as a whole, please share this with them. And if you see a news story that you think might make for a good discussion here, email that link to me. You can send it to andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.